Luke chapter 11, please. Luke chapter 11, 2s and 3s, 4s and 5s. You can head out if you'd like. Those of you that are scheduled for the pepperoni pizza at Pastor's House next week, if you haven't already told us that you're planning to be there, please do so tonight. And that'll be next Sunday night after the service. Luke chapter number 11. Last week we looked at the definition of prayer and gave you kind of some background about our prayer lives and some illustrations with it. One of the things we tried to emphasize was that we needed to make a beaten path, if you will, to the throne room of God and the privilege it was for us to pray. And I trust this week that your prayer life was improved. Hope you spent some more time now praying. How many of you were in the service this week at the college where Evangelist Tom Farrell preached on prayer, and you also were here last Sunday night? If you were in both of those, raise your hand. Oh, a good many of you. Okay, good. I was glad that I got to use some of those illustrations first. That's what all I'm saying, okay? But at least you know I was telling the truth, right? That's a good thing. Either that or we're both lying, right? Okay. We're going to look tonight, Lord willing, at the determination of prayer and then the dependence of prayer. Now, I will tell you that's a lot of material, so if we don't quite finish it out, that's okay. But those are the two things that we're going to seek to endeavor tonight. Let's look at Luke chapter number 11 and verse 5. Context is the disciples have just said to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then Jesus gives us what is known as the model prayer. We will look at that later on in our series. And he said unto them, verse 5, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not arise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." God gives us the privilege of prayer, but we have to be determined to stick with it. We have to be determined to stick with it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for sweet service tonight, the music and the testimonies. And we trust that as we finish up this day in your house, that the word of God will be an encouragement to us. And we look forward to it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The determination of prayer. How determined are you to continue praying for that which you want? You know, sometimes we ask and then we give up on it. We don't really persist at it. But this passage of Scripture tells us that the best way to get something is to keep on asking, to keep on knocking, to keep on going after it. And in this passage specifically, he says, you know what? Even though this guy probably won't answer the door because he's his friend, he's going to answer the door to get him off his back. That's my interpretation if I were to take it and put it in my own words. That's kind of the idea behind it. Now, number one, if a friend comes at midnight, he's got to be a really good friend to begin with, right? If he knocks on your door at midnight wanting 3 loaves of bread, we would probably say today, "Didn't you pass a Walmart on the way?" You know, but that's not the point that the Lord is trying to make for us. He wants us to be persistent in prayer. Look at Luke chapter 18, if you would, please. Luke chapter 18. And verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And don't quit praying. "Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Again, God is emphasizing for us the persistence that we need in prayer. The word continual in verse 5, it says, I will avenge her, lest her, by her continual coming. The idea behind that is unto the end. In other words, she's not giving up. So either you give her what you want, or you're going to put up with her for the rest of your life, because she's going to keep coming after it. And then the word, she weary me, literally means to beat black and blue. Just the idea. So this woman is going to keep coming at you. It's going to beat you black and blue until you give her what you want. That's the idea behind the passage. Now, we don't come disrespectfully before the throne room of God, but the idea behind these two passages of Scripture are that we're to come with persistence, that we're to keep coming and 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 keep coming. And when you're tired of me saying it, we can keep saying it, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to continue to come before the throne room of grace and to beg him, Lord, this is an area where I want something answered. The stories have been told of men who prayed 40 years before they saw a relative get saved. I don't remember the exact years, but I know that George Mueller prayed for a number of his friends, some saved just shortly after he began to pray. One of them, some 50 years later plus, after his death, he came to know Christ as his Savior. What is it that you've been praying for that you're just about ready to quit on? God says, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Keep coming after it. We had a guy in our high school. He was not a great basketball player, okay? Number one, he was short. I don't have anything against people like that, just in case you're wondering, okay? He was short, and he really couldn't score a lot, and he just wasn't a great skilled athlete when it comes to basketball. But I'm going to tell you something that guy could do. He could come after you. And he was a defensive guy, and our coach put him on their point guard. And I'm telling you, he was tenacious. He was like a bulldog. Before, it didn't matter what game we were playing. Before the end of the game, he's black and blue in some places, knees scrubbed up, elbows scrubbed up. And the other guy is so frustrated, he couldn't even hardly see straight. I've watched really, really good ball players come into the game, could handle the ball like crazy before the end of the game. They're about to lose it. You can see in their face, they're just like, this guy wasn't a great athlete, but he was persistent. And I mean, he came after him, and I was thankful he was on our team, because it was aggravating enough to play that guy in practice, you know? It's like, man, that God wants us to be that way in our prayer life. He wants us to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming and asking him to do that which we ask that we want him to do for us. And so the determination of prayer is simply persistence pays off. God will answer our prayer if we just keep coming after it. You know what? I think that I would love to see God give us a building. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see us have some more classroom space and be able to expand. I mean, we're not jam-packed in here, but we don't have a whole lot of room. I'd love to do that. I've been praying for quite some time, and I'm going to keep begging God for it. I want him to give us a building. Amen. Just keep coming after it and keep coming after it and keep coming after it. But number two for tonight, or number three in the overall sermon series, if you will, the definition of prayer, the determination of prayer, number three, the dependence of prayer. Or we could say it this way, why pray? Why do we need to do that? What does it bring for us, if you will? What does God tell us in his word that tells us we should be praying? All right. We've covered some of these, and I've told you that some of these are going to overlap just a little bit, but let's do some walking through Scripture tonight, and you're going to do a lot of turning if you can stick with me. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. We touched on this again last week as part of our introduction, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That is a command. So number one reason, because you're told to. You're commanded to. God told you to. You know, there were times when I was a boy growing up that I would say to my dad, how come I got to do that? Now, the truth is, I loved when my dad gave me a real good logical answer. You know, well, son, you got to do this because of, and he would give me the steps. But there were times when my dad told me, because I said so. That's it, because I said so. And then I had a choice. Life could get real pleasant, or life could get real rough. That was my two choices. I could do what my dad told me, and it would be great. Or I could do that which, I could not do what he told me, and then it's going to get pretty rough. My dad believed in discipline. He loved me, and I'm grateful for that. But if I crossed him, he knew how to take care of that. God tells us to pray. God commands us to pray at every opportunity. Pray. So number one, we're commanded to. Number two, God desires to give us good things. God desires to give us good things. Look at Matthew chapter 7, if you would. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? You know, God wants to give us good things. It's God's desire to do that. And I'm sure those of you that are parents in this room know what that feels like. Know that you would love for your children to maybe earn a prize for, you know, cleaning their room 5 days in a row, or whatever you've set up in your home as kind of a structure. I never got an allowance growing up. My dad, that's just not the way my dad operated. This is the way my dad operated, and my kids will recognize this. My dad said, I will start paying you allowance, and then I will start charging you for room and board. So if we want to work at this process, then we can do that. And so my dad said, you'll owe a fourth of the food and a fourth of the house payment, and a fourth of the electricity, and a fourth of... My brother and I got to thinking, you know, I think we'll just stick with whatever Daddy wants to do and forget the allowance thing. You know, we just didn't want to do that. But my dad wanted to give us good things. It wasn't that my dad was cruel. And there were times when my dad had certain things set aside for us, and my brother and I did something that negated that. It just took it away. And... you know, as a boy, I didn't understand the heartbreak that my dad felt at that time. But those of us who are parents, we understand that. We know exactly what it's like to want to do something good. Last night, my grandson was over at my house. I'm not sure where he got it. It must be his daddy. But my grandson has a stubborn streak. Oh, there's his daddy. I thought he wasn't in here. Okay. I'm just kidding. He's got a stubborn streak in him, and I'm thankful that Dan and Sarah are working through that instead of just letting him do whatever he wants. But last night, they were getting ready to go, and I said, Judson, climb up in here and sit with Papa for a minute, you know? And I just wanted to talk to him and give him a hug, and man, it was war on, you know, because he didn't want to climb up there. I thought, how bad is it to just climb up and give me a hug? I didn't think that was so bad. I thought that's kind of a privilege, actually. But at the time, he didn't see it that way, you know? I wanted to do something good for him. I wonder how many times God has wanted to give us good things, and we didn't ask him for them. We just didn't ask him. God's got this boatload of things that he would love to dump on us if we would just ask him. to give it to us. Number three, for cleansing. For cleansing. Luke chapter 18, if you would please. Luke chapter number 18. Of course, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boy, are we thankful for that verse. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Pat me on the back. Whatever else you want to fill in there. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much of his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You know, we need to come to God in prayer simply because we need the cleansing that He offers. And we need to be like this publican that stands there realizing that we don't deserve to come into the throne room of grace. It's our privilege because of the blood of Christ. And you know, so many times we come there with just really a dirty heart, a proud heart, or selfish motives, or whatever fills our mind. God wants us to just humbly come to Him. And the Bible says that when we do, we go down justified. James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It's good for us to come and bow ourselves before God and say, God, I need cleansing in this area, in this area, in this area. When's the last time you just told the Lord, I really messed up there, Lord? That was a wrong attitude. That was a prideful thought. That was, can I tell you, if it's been a long time, your heart's probably so sinful that you don't even know you need to do that. The truth is, we walk in a wicked world and we're constantly in need of cleansing. And we need to come to Him in prayer for cleansing. Number four, because we are at war. Because we are at war. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. You know, we, as an American society, kick around the term warfare quite frequently. Matter of fact, you can hear athletes say when they went on a basketball court to play a game, we were at war out there. You know, that's not war. That's a game. Okay? Football game, I love football, but a football game is not war. That's a game. And people refer to that quite frequently, but it's not inappropriate for us to refer to it as a warfare because God does so repeatedly in Scripture. In verse 10, he says of chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's the enemy. Jump with me, if you would, to verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I've had people say that is our only offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. But can I remind you, the sentence doesn't end there. Look at verse 17. It keeps going. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto. Again, that kind of that military term. Be alert thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I am convinced that prayer is as much an offensive weapon as is the Word of God. We're at war. It's easy for us sometimes to put aside the fact that we're at war because we're not seeing, quote unquote, the daily carnage, if you will. My uncle served in the Marine Corps in Vietnam. And he was in country less than an hour before his best friend that he had gone through boot camp and infantry training with was blown to pieces with a bomb. My uncle says, nobody had to tell me we were at war. It was very real to me. Sometimes we go through the Christian life as if we're playing a game. But the truth is, we're at war. We're in an intense war. A war that I'm convinced if God pulled back the heavens, we couldn't handle it. At what's happening. And much of our offensive weapons can only take place as we bow before God. And go to war, if you will, in our prayer life. You know, in this room can be casualties if we're not careful. Do you pray for each other? The people that's maybe in your deacon caring group, that'd be a great group to start with. Do you pray for the people maybe in your Sunday school class or that are good friends in the church? We need each other to pray for each other. We need that all the time. We pray because we are at war. So God commands us to. He desires to give us good things for cleansing. Because we are at war, number five, because it demonstrates our dependence on God. I quoted Brother Tom Farrell last week. Tom Farrell says that prayer is our declaration of dependence. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, or chapter 20 and verse 12 says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I love Old Testament stories. Hezekiah is one I really enjoy. And I love particularly the part where the army comes to Hezekiah, Sennacherib's army, and he begins to just tell them how horrible they are and how they're not going to be able to stand up before him. And then makes some critical mistakes. He says this, you don't think your God's any different than the other gods, do you? You don't think your God can beat us, because I can tell you, no other God has been able to stand before us. And your God's not going to be any different. And they mocked God and they laughed before him. And they wrote a letter and gave it to Hezekiah. I love what Hezekiah does. This is my version of it, okay? So you're going to have to put it in the Ogle version here, okay? Hezekiah gets the letter, opens it, takes it to the altar of God, lays it before him, and basically says this, God, did you see what he said about you? What you going to do about it? That's really what he says in the story. God, what are you going to do about it? Well, let's see. One angel, 185,000 dead troops in one night. Because someone demonstrated their dependence upon God. And Sennacherib learned that God's not like any other God. And he can win victories. And he loves for us to be dependent upon him. Number six. It is a way for us to praise God. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we're going to get to praise towards the end of our prayer series. Psalms 100, verse 1 through 4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Prayer is an opportunity, is a way for us to praise him. And the Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. Praise the Lord for that. Do you sing to the Lord at your devotion time? I hope you do. I think it's a great practice to just get out a hymnal or maybe some songs that you have memorized. I know for some of you, you definitely need to be in your closet when you do that. But nevertheless, the Lord doesn't matter, okay? He doesn't care. He's going to listen to you anyway. Sing to the Lord. Praise him for who he is, not just what he's done for us. Hey, it's wonderful to be thankful for what he's done for us. Praise him for who he is. And again, we'll spend some more time on that later. Number 7, we're to pray for our daily needs. In Luke 11, in verse 3, he tells us that we're to pray for our daily bread. Look with me, if you would, please. Luke 11 and verse 3. And again, this is in that model prayer. Luke 11 and verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. Another passage, he says, give us this day our daily bread. For our daily needs. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. James chapter 4 and verse 2 says, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. What is it that you've been wanting God to do for you that you just haven't taken the time to ask him? God wants to meet those daily needs. Number 8, to surrender to his will. To surrender to his will. Luke 11 and verse 2 says, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Prayer is a great time for us to submit to the will of God. Mark chapter 14 and verse 36 says, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Our Lord prayed in the garden. Psalms 40 and verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Prayer is a great time for us to come and just submit to the will of God. The will of God is not always what we want. Unless you've got all that settled. You ever come to God and really just didn't want what you thought he was doing? That can be tough. Earlier in the year, I was struggling through the transition here at Emmanuel. The church had not voted yet, and really the struggle was this. What if it's God's will that you not be the pastor at Emmanuel Baptist Church? What if that's God's will? Okay, now up front, I knew that was best. If that had been God's will, I knew that was best. And so as I struggled through my own emotions and all this kind of stuff, it really came down to this. And I remember sitting in my office one day, and I finally said to the Lord, Lord, I think I've figured this out. It's brilliant when we say that to the Lord, because he's got it figured out already, right? And I said to him, I understand it may be your will, and I know that that's perfect, and that down the road it would be fantastic, but I just don't want that. That's what I was thinking. That was what my heart was saying. I want to stay here. And I had to say, but Lord, your will is best. And I don't want that. And I can think of all kinds of complications just in case, Lord, you hadn't thought of them yet. If you decide to do that, there's some real problems in this whole scenario, okay? Maybe you've never had that struggle. But you know, prayer is a great time for us to just say, Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want. your will is best. Number 9. Prayer is a great time for us to pray for others. To pray for others. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I've got the wrong book there. Sorry about that. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He goes on to say, then, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And I say it's our responsibility to pray for our leaders. You may not like what's happening in our country. You may not have voted for our current president. But the Bible says that we're to pray for them so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Last week I mentioned that the word intercession was primarily used in relation to what God does for man, and that is true. I felt like maybe afterwards I didn't make that clear to you, that it doesn't mean that we don't intercede for people. This verse clearly tells us that intercession is a part of our prayer life. I just wanted you to understand that God does that for us, and I am very, very grateful for that. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, it says, "Now beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me," Paul says. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, "Brethren, pray for us." 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." James 5 and verse 16, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Hebrews 13 and verse 18, "Pray for us, for we trust that we have a good conscience in all things while willing to live honestly." Over and over and over again in the Word of God, we're commanded to pray for others, for intercession. And I'm sure our missionaries would say, "Pray for us. We desperately need it on a day-by-day basis." We tonight could make quite a prayer list of the real burdens that are just in this room tonight. People who are asking God to do some supernatural things in health, in family, in finances, in future of ministry, and on we could go. Pray for us. I hope you pray for me. I need that as your pastor, desperately, that God will continue to work in our midst. And then number 10, for fellowship. Psalms 145 and verse 18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth." Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. You know, God just wants to develop a relationship with us. He wants us to fellowship with Him, just to spend some time talking with Him. When Eric Walton texted me yesterday morning and said, "I'm getting two more pints of blood," I just really felt like I needed to go see him. He was supposed to come home on Saturday, and Pastor Brew had gone on Friday. And matter of fact, Brother Eric had said, "Don't come, that's a long drive." But we just felt like we needed to go. And so my wife and I jumped in the car, and we prayed some on the way. We spent some time just fellowshipping with the Lord together. And then we fellowshipped together as well on the trip. We had a lot of time to just talk to each other. Matter of fact, Clarence and I fellowship some. We're climbing up the big mountain there on Interstate 26, and I'm like, "That's Clarence and Leslie. They're sitting on the side of the road." So I thought they were broke down or something. I called him and said, "Clarence, are you broke down?" He goes, "Where are you at?" If I'd have thought, I should have said, "I just knew you were broke down somewhere," you know. But I didn't. We would just pass by, you know. God just wants that fellowship. And just as you have a relationship with a dear friend or whatever, and you get on the phone with them, maybe you're a long ways apart, or maybe when you get back together, you you know, you just love to spend time talking to each other. That's what God wants with us. And prayer is an opportunity for us to fellowship with Him. And we're in a busy, 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 busy society. We don't take time to just talk to our Lord. And if you're too busy to spend some time in fellowship with Him, then you're too busy. Carve out some time that you can just fellowship with Him. We have an incredible privilege to come into the throne room of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. I mean, the God that spoke the world into existence, the God who has all power, and He not only gives us the privilege to come in and talk to Him, He wants us to do it. He wants us to walk in there and just kind of fellowship with Him, you know? What a joy that is. What a joy that is. And many times we don't take advantage of it. And so let's just quickly review tonight. The determination of prayer. Persistence pays off. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Don't give up. I mean, just continually come at it. The dependence of prayer. Why do we pray? We're commanded to. God desires to give us good things for cleansing because we're at war. It demonstrates our dependence on God. It's a way to praise the Lord for our daily needs, to surrender to His will. For others, or intercession, and then just simply for fellowship. Prayer. What a privilege it is. What a privilege it is. One story, and then I'm done. When my wife and I had not been married long, matter of fact, Sarah was 6 months old. I received orders from the United States Marine Corps to head overseas. And we had gotten our life straightened out with the Lord and were growing spiritually and had told the Lord, whatever you want us to do, we'll do. We had just transferred to a new duty station and I had to call ahead of time and said, I'm going to move my wife and family here, but I want to know, are we going to deploy anytime soon? Because if so, I'm not going to move them. I'm just going to, you know, come there myself, leave them at home, and when I get back from the deployment, then I'll move into place. And they said, oh, no, you're not going to deploy. It's a good way Marine Corps operates. And so we get to the duty station, and I'd been there maybe a week going through in processing and all that kind of stuff, and get my final assignment to the unit that I was going to be attached to, and walked into the room, the main admin room, and there were boxes sitting everywhere. And I thought, this is not good. So I walked up to the guy and gave him my paperwork and said, what's all the boxes? And he said, oh, we're deploying in 2.5 weeks. I asked a real dumb question. Is it an accompanied tour? That means, can my wife go with me? He just looked at me like, what planet did you fall off of? No, she can't go with you. That night I went home and opened the door, and my wife said to me, guess what I did today? And she said, I just finished unpacking the last box. And I said to her, I'm leaving. Get all the boxes back out. You got to pack back up again. And I remember literally sobbing. I had a wife and a six-month-old daughter, and I was going to leave them for 6 months. And I remember in that time, I said to God, God, everything I love, I'm leaving here. And I don't know if I can take that for 6 months. And God said to me, not everything you're supposed to love is staying here. I could have never learned what it was really like to daily fellowship with the Lord if I had not been apart from them for 6 months. Now, there were some tough times, but I had a lot of alone time. And the truth is, it was in that 6 months in which I learned to walk with God and for Him to truly be number one in my life. Amen. Just that sweet fellowship with Him. God gave me a really neat thing. In the barracks, and I had, other than boot camp and training, I'd not been in a barracks in quite some time, and it's not the most comfortable place in the world. Neither is it the most wholesome place in the world. But there was an empty room. Couldn't have been much larger than maybe this one of these platforms, 4x8. Had a combination lock on it. I went to my sergeant and said, "What's that room for?" He goes, "Nothing." I said, "You know the combination?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Can I have the room?" He said, "What do you want with it?" I said, "Well, to be honest, I want to have some time alone with God and my Bible." And he kind of snickered, but gave me the room. And for months, I had a room all by myself that I could go close the door and just be alone with God. What a wonderful privilege that was. God wants us to pray. He wants us to have a real relationship with Him. Will you develop that with Him? Because He longs to have it with you. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. Lord, what a privilege it is to come into Your presence. As the song says, just to mingle with the One who set me free. What a precious privilege. May we never lose sight of the fact that You want us to fellowship with You. As we're bowed before the Lord, just quietly. Covered a lot of ground tonight. Has God spoken to your heart specifically in an area? Just initially, I'm going to ask the piano and organ just to quietly play. And perhaps there at your seat, or as you maybe you need to come forward, you would just say, "God, what a privilege it is to pray, and I want to have that relationship with You. Would You help me in whatever area it is that I've missed? Maybe I've not been persistent, or maybe I've not come for confession, or whatever it may be. Would You just quietly there pray and ask Him to help you in that area?"